He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined on this fine Thursday evening by Silver Screen's newest writer, Silver Screen & Roll's newest, not a writer for the Silver Screen. That's a very different position. But the Silver Screen & Roll's newest writer, Raj Sapalu. Raj, how you holding up, bud? You yeah, working you too hard there? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. I've, you know, had to dust some of this rust off. It's been a while since I've spoken through a microphone. But no, it's been a crazy fun week. And the team's been good too. I heard you and Harrison kind of speaking about that. The vibe is good around everybody, and I'm feeling good. A little tired for sure, but you know, we got another one tonight. I think that finally ends the huge 6 games in 8 days thing that we were going through, and I think it slows down a little bit next week.
It was a smart move by Vox and by Harrison and Jacob to hire you on a game-by-game basis, or you have to write after every game during the busiest time of the Lakers' year, really getting their money's worth from you this first
yes.
week. That was solid business by everybody over Vox. But no, I'm thrilled for you, you know, and you even got to go cover a game. You know, like, did you have to wear a seatbelt? Did they give you a seatbelt to wear there so that you like don't levitate up into the rafters? Like, how'd that go?
It's so funny because you could totally tell that everyone else is kind of in this, you know, mode of, oh, we got to do this again. And I have like the widest eyes, and everyone I talk to, I just like, man, this is, and I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm just going, this is freaking incredible. And they're like, like, man, the food's cold. I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even eat. Like, I was just so excited. I didn't even like get any food from the media food room. No, it was an incredible experience. And, you know, being able to ask questions to JJ, and I got a question to Dorian. I was sitting there in front of Luca, and I just did not, you know, get a question into him. But no, it was an awesome experience. Excited to go again, you know, soon. But yeah, no, that was really cool and a dream come true. And just like all of us, when you fulfill that, the goalpost moves. This is how life works. But I could tell that, you know, a lot of people have kind of, you know, in that space, Anthony, we talk about this all the time. It's just become a job for a lot of the people there. And it was,
yeah.
And they were like, and you know, some people were like, I'm glad you're here to kind of remind me how cool this is. And I'm like, I have to remind you how cool. Like, they're like, yeah, but like, you know, and so yeah. It's,
well, you know, I mean, like, you think about it, people get like calloused to everything that they do, right? Like, mm-hmm. if not, those people that I saw this one job the other day. Apparently, people who do this, at least at the time of the video, were getting like $130,000 a year.
Okay,
to climb hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet up into the air and change mm-hmm. a light bulb on these like really high poles.
Oh yes,
and then I've climb back down, right? And like the fact that those people eventually get used to that job,
right?
She didn't say that like everybody eventually gets used to like their job. It is fun to go to those games. It is fun to, you know, and it is a pinch me moment. Like, just wait till your first paycheck comes in too, where you're like, yeah. Jesus, really? They're like, all right. I could imagine you were like the world's worst negotiator too. They're like, what are you looking to make? $3.
Right.
but yeah, no, I'm really proud of you. Your first couple of pieces have been fantastic. We'll plug those at the end of the show as well. But yeah, those questions about like Jackson Hayes and
yeah.
the vertical threats, and you could tell that JJ really kind of got excited about getting to answer such a nerdy question. So I think you're going to be good in that space. Like, I think that's going to be something that the Lakers are going to enjoy having you around.
Yeah, you know, I saw the love online. I, you know, couldn't respond to everybody, and I'll definitely do my thank yous, but wanted to do this here. I wanted to thank you, Anthony. I mean, this doesn't happen without all our conversations after, and, you know, all the stuff we, you know, we go through. And, yeah, 2-3 in the morning, your time, sometimes 4, where I'm just kind of pegging you with questions. And yeah, just again, you spoke about how people get tired of it, and I understand, you know, that situation, but no, I just feel like a lot of people in my age bracket, especially, like, they just don't have something that they're really passionate about. So for one, just I'm grateful that I have something and I have an outlet to flex that creative muscle. And that's just, it's a really cool, you know, experience. And it was cool seeing like a question I asked spark conversation. Like, that was amazing to see. And, you know, being in the room there and getting to, you know, answer. I was a little nervous. I was like, I'm not sure how he'll answer this. Because they're like, last question. I was like, oh, okay. Then you know, I got to ask it, you know, right? And, but yeah. Asking him.
Yeah.
This one was Mike Budenholzer, which, like, he has this look on his face that's like a consistent.
The beginning of the video.
Just an absolute confusion. I was like, what did I say? Like, I felt like those words came out correctly. But he just
Had to look like. But he always looks like that, though, right? Like,
I know,
Mike Budenholzer. Always looks like he forgot where he parked his car.
Right. Like, but it's different when he's looking at your face going, I was like, oh, did I say something wrong? But then he answered the question really well. So that
have you seen all of the Mike Budenholzer looks like no. jokes and tweets and stuff like that? Mm-mm. Like the one I just said, I kind of came up with on the spot, but there's one where it's like Mike Budenholzer always looks like he made way too big a bet. You know, and he made a bet that he absolutely cannot afford to lose. Right. Like, it's just, there's so many.
It's like he hasn't seen sunlight in 3 years. And he just pulled him out.
Mike Budenholzer looks like he just accidentally hit reply all. Like it's just.
It's so like internet history got released to like everybody. Yeah.
It was funny because I believe that was the first clip, right, that you threw up there, the first question you asked in that spot.
Yeah.
Just laughing, like, what are the chances that your first question is going to be to a guy who looks at you like,
right, yeah, like I was speaking another language. I was like, man, I feel like those words came out pretty well, but
he's also had the season from hell.
That's like, true.
Mike Budenholzer looks like he's watching the Phoenix Sun season. it was awesome to see it. And yeah, I was thrilled to see the outpouring of love and support. There's a lot of people pulling for you, man. We've been saying this to you for a while now, and it's been cool to watch that kind of you know, coalesce in the way that it did online and I'm sure in person. Like, I bet there are people who were happy to see you there in the building as well. So just keep killing it, man. Like, that's all that really matters here, is that, like, you build on that momentum, and I know you will.
The funniest part was, like, people from high school reaching out and go, hey, Raj, like, you know, if you remember me, but
yeah,
you know, we played on, and I was like, man, of course I remember you, you know, but no, that was like, one of the coolest things. People like, I heard your voice, and I was like, oh, I know that voice. I'm like, really? Like, you heard that voice? They're like, yeah, it's on Spectrum. I was like, all right, well, cool.
Yeah, it's people like from high school always forget. Like, dude, in my case, it's been a little bit longer than in yours, but like, I've had some people reach out, and they're like, yeah, I haven't had anybody ask like if I remember them,
right.
Especially if I played with them. But actually, one of my old teammates, his name is also Raj, and I've had to add his last name to the to text messages because I've accidentally texted him thinking he was you. but anyway, yeah, it's absolutely fun to watch that and also really cool to pop on there and see the writing as strong as it was too. And I've had some conversations with people behind the scenes, and I've heard that it's your actual, like, the editing process has been super easy. It's been super clean. So, and that, like, the reason I bring that up is because, you know,
I know you are always going to put in the work to do it. And, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, kids will reach out and ask, what does it take to make it in this industry? What did you do? What were the steps that you took? And it's like, honestly, the most important step is just to fucking work.
Yeah.
And work and work and work. And you know, a lot of times it's thankless work at first, and it's probably thankless work for the majority of that time while you're building up your audience. And then you turn around and you look at where you currently sit, in your case, literally physically sat in the arena, and you're like, huh, all right, all that shit was worth it.
Yeah, it's a feeling I hope everyone gets to feel at some point, you know, and it just, you know, it takes longer than you think, but the payoff is, you know, this is not the pinnacle, obviously, but just for myself, that was a goal that I had. To your point, I know you get probably a lot of this too, where people ask, like, you know, and I'll click their account and be like, account created 2025 January, and be like, hey Raj, I'm trying to get in, you know, to the industry, like, what do I do? And like, oh, I'm like, oh man, well, you know, this is a process that you're really in the infant stages of, but you know, like, but yeah, it's just, it was really
cool. I normally tell people, don't go into accounting, go into banking, do this as a hobby. All right, let's go ahead and try to segue awkwardly off of that. I guess the way I'll segue is, you know, Raj, how thankful are you that you don't have to watch this game in person? This specific game where the Lakers, I had at one point the injury report up, and here we go. So considered doubtful, and I'm guessing these players are not going to play if we haven't actually gotten their updates yet. Dorian Finney-Smith and Jared Vanderbilt are both considered doubtful. DFS is dealing with their left ankle injury that has been kind of nagging him all year. I thought it was the right one, but whatever it is. Jared Vanderbilt apparently has a right groin strain. That one kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know to what extent all of these things are real, to be completely honest. I don't want to get the Lakers in trouble per se. But anyway, Luka is out. Rui out with a right ankle sprain. We've actually seen him kind of bump that ankle a few times. It's the second night of a back-to-back. Sure. I understand him not playing. Rui is continues to be out. I'm going to maybe while you're talking kind of break down or try to find an update on him if we've gotten one. And then LeBron Kleba and Austin Reeves is out in this one. Again, on that second night of a back-to-back, he apparently is dealing with a right ankle sprain as well. I wish the Lakers were allowed to just be like,
it's second night of a back-to-back. Yeah, Adam Silver, how dare you? Like, the guys are not playing tonight.
For all of those names that I listed,
yeah,
Dorian Finney-Smith, Jared Vanderbilt, Luka Doncic, Rui Hachimura, LeBron James, Maxi Kleba, Austin Reeves are all out with six game in 8 nights.
Like, just put the month of March, like March.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, schedule. Is the reason that they're all out. By the way, like this probably speaks to the vibes that we've been talking about here surrounding this team. How little I cared that all of these guys were out. I mean, it was just kind of like, okay. I think I have a lot of confidence that they'll make up for, you know, this game at some point over the course of the next, whatever it is, 13 after tonight.
Yeah. I tweeted this before the Denver game in Denver where we had a similar injury report. You know, I was like, these are sometimes the best games, especially when you have a culture, I think, that the Lakers have built where they all play hard, Anthony, you know, and I don't really have to worry about that. And the kind of guys we have at the end of the bench are really different than we have had it the last few years, where, you know, I think there will be serviceable. Milwaukee's going through their worst stretch. They just had another players only meeting, but the only players allowed were Giannis and Dame. And I guess Chris Haynes was entered in there as well, but Giannis and Dame had their players only meeting. So this is a team that's kind of in some turmoil. I think the Lakers can steal one. Like, I think this is a team that's been playing bad. Giannis just had a really bad game in Golden State. So, you know, maybe he kind of comes a little bit more rejuvenated, but Dante Kanek has shown he can put up 30 shots in a game and he can get hot. Gabe Vincent, I think, is playing. Jackson Hayes, you just mentioned, I believe, is also playing. And so we'll see if they can kind of make it, you know, make it a game. And at the end, you can kind of steal one. Dame also is doubtful, right? I think Dame might also not play. So I think he was also on their injury report. He got moved to, I think he was doubtful to questionable. I don't know how what the line is, the delineation of that. But I would expect him maybe to miss this one. And the Lakers have a chance. And the Bucks play a really strange offense, and they're a very conservative type of defense. So I think Dalton's going to be able to get some looks against them tonight, and you know maybe you know keep this close and give them a chance to win at the end, like in Denver.
Breaking news here from JJ Redick. He is telling reporters that there's a chance that he is quote hopeful that Rui Hachimura and LeBron James will make their returns to the court on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So I'll say this, and I've kind of hinted at here, had it here on the show a bunch. There has been a lot of optimism swirling around Rui that we would get this kind of an update on him soon, that he would be available relatively soon. I had heard going into this week that it would happen sometime this week. Turns out it's happening on literally the last day of the week, but I'll take it. I will take it nonetheless. The one that surprises me is LeBron. LeBron potentially returning. Look, finding information on LeBron's injuries is probably a little bit less difficult than like the nuclear codes. It's just that information is right. Really tough to come by. You know, it's like impossible to come by until Rich Paul just like says it, you know,
it's like three SUV vans protecting it. Like there's just, you're not getting through.
It's like, it is, you know, it's behind, it's in a safe,
right.
At the bottom of the ocean.
It's like a doctor's note, like, you know, in a locker. Like
sharks swimming specifically around, having been trained to swim specifically around that safe. It is just, normally, it's really difficult to come by that. And even on those terms, I had essentially been hearing, next couple of weeks, we'll probably hear a little bit more about LeBron over the weekend. The fact that he might be able to play, and Raj, the Lakers might have their full rotation, their full team available on Saturday, potentially. So that's pretty great news. That's incredible.
I think they can smell the two seed. And there was a point a few games ago where, you know, everything was falling off because of the injuries that I think they fell to third or fourth. And I think there was some evaluation there of, can we even catch the two seed? Is it worth it? Or should we just let all these dudes take their time to come back and we just enter the playoffs healthy? But I think Denver falling with the injuries they've had, you know, to their stars, Memphis falling as well, strangely, even though they have their guys. Houston obviously has won 8 in a row, but they lost Amon Thompson, I think, for a while, so they'll be shorthanded as well. I think the Lakers can smell a two seed, and I think that's one of the reasons. I'm not saying LeBron wasn't hurt, but I think there's some motivation to have him back, maybe not at 100%, just to come back and have some time also to build. But Luka, this is a different, so it's funny, as LeBron's coming back, this is a different Luka Doncic too, right? He is moving out of
you
gear.
See how thin he is? Like, you seen those, like, those side-by-side pictures of his first game with the Lakers? Yeah. I know people have noticed. He has ditched the undershirt. He's letting those guns fly, man. Like, he's, like, he got a fresh haircut for the other game, like, this last game, too. It was like, oh, okay. He's been eating at Cava. He's been, like having those, he's gone gluten-free with his beer. Yeah. He looks incredible. Looks awesome.
Do you think there was like some, you know, Devin Booker workout routine where he's like, no, I just got to get in shape? Because on Sunday when I saw him play against the Suns, Anthony, I was like telling people, he doesn't look out of shape. Like, he looks good. They're like, yeah, no, he's been a lot better. The first game he was pretty hefty, but now, like, he's really improved. And yeah, this is a different Luka. He's running on a different gear than he was when LeBron, you know, went out with his groin injury in Boston. So yeah, we'll have our full complement hopefully on Saturday, even if it's after that on the road trip. Maybe they give him a few more days to also get, you know, back right. But yeah, Anthony, I think they can smell a two seed, and if you can have home court from everyone except Oklahoma City, I think they're going to go for that. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of pushing these guys back one interesting thing for me is, does Rui come back and start? I was on the start Rui train for a while, and I think I boarded the Dorian kind of transit that's flown past me. So that'll be interesting kind of dynamic as well. But yeah, it'll be great to have the full complement of guys back against a Chicago team.
Yeah, poor Chicago. I mean, like, they don't care. They would rather lose and like fall down the standings. Yeah. If they've been trying to, they just can't because the East sucks so much. But like,
yeah, they're in playing conversations. There's just, it's so dumb. It's just,
but yeah, like I, yeah, as far as like the Rui thing, honestly, like it's breaking my brain that they might have their full rotation available. And actually, that's kind of sort of exactly what I wanted to talk about tonight, in that there haven't been very many games that the Lakers have had their full rotation. You know, not just, you know, since the Luka trade, but for the entirety of the season. And you've had, I would say, probably four different Lakers teams. The first mm-hmm. version that we saw out there, where it was D'Lo and Austin starting side by side, and they were pretty meh. Like, watching that team was just not very fun. And then you had Max Christie inserted into the starting lineup for D'Angelo Russell, and I think that was the first sign that the Lakers were kind of turning a corner, or what like we saw a different ceiling with that group. Then the Lakers traded D'Angelo Russell for Dorian Finney-Smith, and their defense became really, really bleeping good. So that's team number three. Then they trade for this Luka guy.
That's like team eight. That's like, you got to skip some numbers. Like there's some iterations that go on. Like, it's like team eight when you go get Luka.
Well, I guess like to that point, the Lakers had a brief look at a post Anthony Davis, not that they were planning for it, not that it was on purpose, but they had that brief look at the team without AD. So I guess you can maybe call that team five, because that was the first time that JJ finally got to kind of coach the team exactly how he wanted to coach them. And then they got the player who was exactly the kind of player who he's exactly the kind of player every coach, except for maybe Jason Kidd, every coach would want to coach. And yeah, you want to call it team eight for the sake of how many steps forward the Lakers have taken since. But my point here is that this is kind of a throwback team, not in playing style, not in approach or anything like that, because they're shooting 53s a game. I think they're kind of a throwback team to my childhood, where none of these analytics were around, because you can't analytically analyze this team right now. There isn't a big enough sample size on almost any of these things. So you can't definitively say really anything stat-based about this Lakers team. And it's kind of nice that we all basically have to use the eye test. It's a throwback to, this is a straight barbershop team where everybody has their opinions on them. Everybody has an idea of what they think they're kind of capable of. And nobody outside of Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, because they're always wrong, but outside of those guys, you could say almost anything about this team on the in terms of ceiling.
Yeah.
And I think make a viable point that makes a lot of sense. I really enjoy like analyzing this team in this way, because I got kind of sick of the analytics, I'm not gonna lie.
It's so fun. And to your point, our starting shooting guard the last two games is Jordan Goodwin, like the Lakers two-way guy. So you talk about guy with no numbers attached to him or no analytics that can really analyze what he's doing. And I got the pleasure of watching him, obviously, with South Bay covering it for Clutch Points. And I was like, this guy gets a ton of steals. And I was saying, like, he's going to have a huge, you know, impact on that end. And he's already had, like, games of four steals and above. And the Lakers are kind of just finding ways to be impactful. I think the place you can look is Luka, you know, and Jackson Hayes relationship and his pairing with the different guys. He and Austin, I heard you and Harrison kind of have the Austin Reeves all-star conversation, which put a smile on my face. You know, I feel like Austin would have made it if the Lakers were the two seed, but it's a conversation for another day. But Luka and Austin's pairing is starting to really rise and go up the incline. It's just, it's been cool to just watch this team transform, I guess. I think LeBron going out, obviously you didn't want to lose LeBron, Anthony, but I think, like, to your point where you can't really judge this team, you know, in terms of the numbers, I think LeBron going out helped, like, it just helped balance, like, Luka and have him just not think too much. And I think you're starting to see the fruits of that, where now Luka's pretty much in full control. This is like Dallas Luka. Tim Legler on the broadcast kept mentioning, like, this is Dallas Luka that the Lakers have acquired now. And he was pretty good before too, but 21 points in the first quarter. You could just tell there's a swagger that's back. There's a confidence that has returned. Austin had like 20 and whatever in their last game. And that's like a bad game from him, because he was averaging around 30. The team, it's tough to evaluate in terms of the analytics and the numbers, but they're creating a ton of open shots. This team looks freaking unguardable. You listen to Luka talk after the game. He's like, yeah, it's easy. I just draw two defenders and we play out of that. And he says it's so simple, and you watch it. It's just, yeah, it's beautiful to watch him kind of get comfortable here. And I don't know what the numbers say. We're going to have to look. This is going to be team 11, I feel like, when LeBron comes back, because this is a different Luka Doncic. This is also different Austin Reeves, right? No longer, you know, being hurt by the calf issue. The hierarchy with the team feels like it's been figured out. I think Koloko has kind of earned that backup center spot. JJ is playing Koloko. Like, I'm excited about that. Koloko's earned kind of that backup center. People are, reaching out to me going, he's trash and he's great. He's trash and he's great. Like, he's a backup center. Like, there's expectations that need to be.
He's a two-way center.
Yes, yes.
Christian Koloko is the human exemplification of we back. what was the hat that we wanted to make? We back. We so back.
Right.
It's
right.
Over. Oh, it's Jover. It's over. We so back. It's over. We so back. And that's just Christian Koloko playing basketball.
Right.
Yeah. So here's my thing. I don't hate analytics, to be clear. It's just information, right? I think people sometimes get carried away with them. I think you need to pass an IQ test to use Basketball Reference, but I, for the most part, I think the whole distaste for analytics is kind of misplaced, because it takes all of 5 seconds to take a look at who was good at what stats, and based on that, figure out which stats kind of tell the right story, or which combination of stats tell the right story. Where I start kind of dozing off is when I start seeing people say, well, so-and-so's LeBron is here, so therefore he is this, and so-and-so's LeBron is not there, so therefore he sucks. And it's like,
it's context necessary.
You know, I'm old enough to remember PER. And I remember when PER was the end all be all statistically. And then we started to realize, dang, Al Jefferson must be a god based on PER.
Yeah.
And yeah, no. and my thing with I guess Damian Lillard is not playing, as you mentioned earlier, Raj. Mm-hmm. My thing with stats and analytics is, and it's, I think, one of the most exciting aspects to it all, is that it is this evolving thing. It's this living, breathing concept that takes steps forward and takes steps backward, and you can kind of watch the way that the holes that need to be filled in it and the holes that cannot be filled in it. Something like momentum or the hot hand theory or something like those concepts, which we know are real, but analytics heavy people will say, nope, absolutely not, as it gets shoved into lockers by the people who actually played the sport.
Imagine going to like a pickup game and going, you know what? Like, there's no such thing as a hot hand.
Imagine telling that to Kobe as he's scoring his 81st point. Hey man, you didn't have it going tonight. You were always meant to knock down those shots.
Those areas were just really preferable for you. Like, there was, you were just not hot. Yeah. You didn't have a good game.
So, but like, I think for whatever reason, this almost dogmatic conversation came about, where you have the former players on one side of it, and you have the nerds on the other side of it, and both sides were equally condescending towards each other about analytics and experience, and these takes are flying back and forth that aren't even about basketball, but about the people who feel a certain way about the other people who are on the other side of the spectrum of them on this conversation. And it just became a whole bunch of noise and became really stupid. And what I'm really excited about is that with this Lakers team, none of that shit matters. Exit all.
No. Right.
Just watch this team. Watch this team. Let me know what you think. I think that's really refreshing. I love it.
What's funny is, like you were mentioning, I guess, the separation between players and, you know, nerds and just, you know, numbers. People are really going into numbers and people on the other side. Anthony, I think this is how Luka Doncic gets traded. Like, I'm not even – like, this is how Luka Doncic gets traded. We've talked
about this on Slack a ton.
Yeah. Like, it's just you overthink and you overanalyze and you trust – a certain part of data, which may be correct, right? Our defense actually is the reason we got to the finals. And that can be an actual thing you pitch. And that can be correct in some, like some number can tell you you're right there.
Yeah.
But in the real world, and this is where I just lose any sense of logic here, any person that you could talk to that covers basketball goes, you're an idiot. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You're going to trade Luka Doncic away to improve your defense, like, for a guy who's averaging, you know, 34 or whatever he was last year. And I think that's what this part of the conversation is. And that's what's so awesome. Like, Luka and LeBron, you can dive into the numbers, the pairing. It's a plus whatever. It's okay. But Laker fans watching it are going, holy, like, just every single minute. And, yeah, when you're in the building, like, there's a way that Luka's just magical, Anthony. I was there watching it, and it's my first time watching Luka in person, going, how do you watch this and go, like, yeah, that's the guy we don't need? Like, that's insane. But to your point, I think when you're following a set of numbers and standards that you have, you can come to that conclusion and go, yeah, we're done with this. The 34 points actually aren't real because this number says this.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's making your point.
Well, I think the bigger thing, like, to build on that point, the bigger thing is just becoming too dogmatic about any sensibilities that you have in basketball. Right. It's basketball. It should be
fun. Yeah, it should be enjoyable.
We're not having a pro-life conversation here. We're talking about sports, you know? Yeah. And I think a lot of times, and I think this is what happened here with Nico, where he had, like, the number of times that he has either leaked or actually cited Mamba mentality after making this trade, which, by the way,
like, look at our backgrounds, by the way, like,
Kobe,
the
Kobe would fight you, Nico, for using his name to defend that trade.
But imagine us two telling people stop saying Mamba mentality is, like, insane with our backgrounds look, but it's fitting. Yes.
Well, but it's what happens when you allow your brain to be bastardized either by main character syndrome, which I believe Nico has, and again, this strict ideology of what a professional basketball players should look like. And even with Luka slimming down, and even with him, you know, now playing without the t-shirt and he gets the fresh haircut, all that stuff, it's cool to see. He clearly has a little bit more pep in his step or whatever, but I don't think he's tangibly leagues more impactful than he was when he had a couple extra pounds on him. I do think there's a breaking point, and I do think eventually he is going to have to get a hold of this stuff, and it's going to matter a lot more over the course of his career from here on out as he gets older. That is all true, but this notion that they needed to trade him because of what defensive analytics said, or, like, it also doesn't make any sense.
There's no logic.
He's saying that he traded Luka because defense is why they won championships,
or why they got to the finals. Why they had
success. Right. Well, they played in championship games. My bad.
Yes.
but he's saying that, and saying he needs to maximize the Kyrie Irving window when Luka's better at defense than Kyrie Irving. So I just don't, and it's not, you know, Luka isn't objectively better at defense. It's probably debatable between the two. But if you were to watch that Celtics series and just watch those few games and make a decision based just off of those games, the decision that you probably land on is, yeah, I probably need to trade Kyrie. Yeah. He was the one who played horribly in that series, not Luka. But anyway, like to bring this back to like the Lakers and how fun it's been to just kind of be able to, there, no narratives going in.
Right.
No, there's, we're all learning about this approach to basketball, switch heavy stuff, versatility, athleticism, 53s a game. I have my sensibilities and sometimes I cringe at some of the threes that the Lakers take, but it's also, I'm also not going to completely close my mind off to math, which is what it winds up being.
Yeah.
3 points is more than two.
Yeah.
So maybe fire up as many of those threes as you can. I think eventually the league is going to need to do something about it to limit the number of threes that, that a team can make over the course of a game, kind of like baseball did with enforcing shift regulations and stuff like that and pitcher substitution rules, all of those good things. In my opinion, I think they're good. But yeah, it's when I talk, part of this is how refreshing it is to watch this team, but it's also super refreshing to just talk about this team. Every time I have a conversation about the Lakers, it is always an interesting conversation because everybody is looking at, there is no, a lot of the problem with analytics sometimes is that the conversation becomes about what is objectively right.
That's what I was going to
say. Basketball is what makes basketball so fun is that it can be a very subjective sport. And, yeah. And getting away from objectivity and leaning a little bit more into subjectivity has made these, whatever, he's played, what, 15 games so far, the Lakers with Luka? Mm-hmm. Like this quarter or so of the season that they will have played with Luka on the team has been really fun because it's just been...
It's new.
About watching this team take form.
Antonio Daniels is the color commentator, Anthony, for the New Orleans Pelicans. I think the best in the business. And he has a quote that, you know, he said a few times, we're lucky we're in a business that we get to be wrong. Like, we're allowed to be wrong. And like how I take that is we're allowed not only to be wrong, but we can learn and we can change our opinions. And we can just enjoy learning the experience of it. And I think that's, you know, just closing my part of that analytical conversation. I think there's a, to your point, there's a point of everyone wants to be right or objectively right or have a right or wrong answer. Yeah, you I don't think there is one. Right. Exactly. And, you know, show why what you're saying is correct over what someone else is saying. But yeah, I remember when we got LeBron and for sure there was a learning experience with LeBron, but LeBron has been in so many, LeBron was just in the league for such a long time that there was a familiarity to his game, even at that point as a Laker fan. With Luka, like obviously we've watched Luka Doncic, but watching him on a daily basis, there's a level of like greatness allows education. And there's a level of education that you just get by watching him and learning. And yeah, does he sometimes take some bad shots? I mean, sure, but I mean, a bad shot is relative, right? He took a step back three with 18 seconds on the shot clock yesterday just because he was feeling good. And he's allowed to do that. Like, that's what's cool about basketball. Like, that is a terrible shot in a graph sense in terms of you can better get a better look if you move the ball around. No, Luka Doncic is hot. He just made his first three shots in the game.
Yeah.
Tim Legler talked about this. He was another, obviously, shooter, a great shooter in his day. He's like, Luka Doncic made two layups. He's about to cook. And he hit, like, his next three threes. And
Michael Porter Jr. was like, oh, no.
Oh, my God. He went I tweeted out, welcome to the jungle, Michael Porter Jr. My God, did he get hunted? Did he get hunted?
Hunted so bad, Raj, that Jen recognized he was getting hunted. She's like, why does he keep on guarding the ball? And I'm like, because they keep on making him guard the ball.
Yeah, not an accident.
She's like, that's so mean. It's very mean.
Is it less mean
if he's a douche? Because... Does it make you feel better about it if Michael Porter Jr. is a douche? He's a big time douche.
Very premeditated attack by Luka Doncic. But no, it was you know, it's just cool to watch him. And again, like, just watch this Laker team grow. And I think you're starting to see fan favorites. Yeah, PG-13, that's a bad shot. You're starting to see fan favorites grow as well. Goodwin's starting to really rise the, you know, fan, you know, place in terms of how people enjoy his game. And Koloko, I'm seeing his gaining some fans. And obviously Jemison had his era of a week or so where he really showed what he is in terms of what his skills are. But yeah, I think this team is coalescing well. And Luka Doncic is just an absolute, like, gift at the middle of the season for everybody. And numbers be damned, I'm just enjoying the hell out of this. I thought I was on the ground, Anthony, and then when I went to the game, it shot me way back up. Watching Luka in person is an absolute experience that I've never, like, seen anything where he's talking to everybody at the same time while killing. He's like, "Oh, you ref, you missed my foul. No, Goodwin, you go there. Now, KD, what are you talking about? Shit, like, you don't even know what you're talking about. Devin Booker, what do you say?" And then he hits a three. And it's like, what? And he's going back, like, telling the other ref, "You missed the call three calls ago." It's like, man, it's
like a mom in a kitchen.
Right? Yeah,
like, for a big meal. Now, not my mom. My mom could never cook. But did you watch The Bear? Did you ever watch The Bear?
The animals,
the TV show.
Oh,
like the hugely popular TV show that keeps winning all the awards.
I think I've seen you mention it on Slack.
There's a scene in an episode, I think it's season two, excuse me, episode, I forget what episode number was, but it's called either 11 or 12 Fishes. It's the Italian way of celebrating Christmas is to make however many types of seafood plates, and you put them out all onto the table. And the mom is in the kitchen cooking all of these seafood dishes to put onto her table. And my favorite segment, has Raj seen popular media? Raj, this show is legitimately one of the most popular shows of the last, like, decade. And you're like, the animal?
What am I supposed to think? You call you
Brother Bear, the Disney cartoon from back in the day? No, but so in this episode, and I'm flubbing the name of the episode, but the mom is cooking all these dishes, and the whole time she's having a conversation with her daughter on, like, how she doesn't have this problem. And, you know, this she's flirting with, like, some boyfriend type of presence. She is yelling at the main character to help her with all of these dishes as well. It's all of these conversations, everything happening all at once. And yeah, that jumps off the screen. Where Luka, and it's really funny to watch it because when he doesn't like a call, I'm more used to more laid back commentary from players on a call. But Luka just lets it fly. He is just like, bleep you, bleep your life, bleep your family, da 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 da. And then somebody will ask him a question about a rotation. No, you just go stand over there. So, by the way, bleep your mom and bleep your this and bleep your that. Good pass, Austin. Bleep you and bleep it. And then he was yelling at somebody who was talking to him from the stands in the last game. It's you know, Mozartian, right? He's a composer. He's actually a fun, a fun image to think of is Kobe in that one commercial where he's telling, you know, everybody's kind of trying to give him some respect. And he's like, no, come on, tell me what you actually feel about me over here.
Right.
Tell me, like, all right, Portland fans, come and let me hear it from over there. Celtics fans, I know you feel a certain way. Kings fans, oof, man, just let me know about it too. And that's really basically how Luka plays every single game.
It's funny because he's so soft spoken, like, you know, being in the press room and just he's very short answers, very, like, you know, soft spoken words. But on the court, it's just so different where he's cussing everybody out, to your point. It's funny because, like, obviously his teammates, LeBron, and LeBron's just been in the fishbowl longer than anyone's ever had. So yeah.
You think LeBron's jealous of what Luke says to referees?
Right, yeah.
LeBron was around Luka for like a week and cussed out Stephen A. Smith. He's like, this is an option? I could have done this the rubbing whole off. Time?
Yeah, it was rubbing off on LeBron. But no, LeBron doesn't even someone can yell LeBron, like at his face 2 feet away from him, and he'll like pretend that guy does not exist. But if you do that to Luka, he's gonna look over to you and be like, what do you want? You know, and it's just there's an interactiveness, and even AD, right? And it didn't really interact with the crowd in that way, wasn't really talking to hecklers or stuff like that. But Luka will absolutely, look at you and involve you in the game and make sure that you know that you're the reason your team lost. And just he's interactive in a way, which is so interesting. And it works really well, I think, with the LA crowd as well. You know, and you talk about someone from the crowd yelled, "Ball don't lie." And he's like, "I got 20 points. What do you mean, ball don't lie?" Like, their team's down 17 right now because of me.
Reminds me of Kobe, because he killed the Knicks in one game, and he saw Spike Lee in the hallways and the corridors under the court. And he goes up to Spike and he goes, "That was your fault."
Right. Yeah.
"You talk shit. And that was your fault. That 55 I dropped on your team's head, that was you."
Right. Yeah.
I think that's part of why I think he's going to resonate really well in a Lakers uniform, because that's the kind of way that we all grew up watching that. Even Magic back in the day, everybody thinks of Magic with the smile and all of those things. But if you got between Magic and something he really, really wanted, ask Isaiah Thomas how that went for him. That was somebody he can say, like, Isaiah Thomas thought he was like his best friend. Now, Isaiah Thomas also screwed over Magic with some stuff that he did off of the court too. But Magic was absolutely brutal on a basketball court. Shaq would literally beat people on a basketball court, and like Dikembe Mutombo was a saint, and like might actually be nominated one day for sainthood, and Shaq would just beat him upside the head every game during those finals series. And I think that's something that, you know, we really, Powell also, right? When Kobe started telling Powell to lean into his black swan with all of that, like this is something that, you know, Lakers fans really kind of buy into. And I think it was part of what kind of drove us kind of crazy with the LeBron AD and especially Darvin Ham era, where Darvin's telling us after games, like, "Don't live and die with all these things." Like, That is antithetical to how we view the sport. That is exactly the opposite thing. The Lakers also told Darvin, "Was like, don't you ever say that again." I really enjoy this team. They're playing great basketball. It's a really fun team to watch. And I've told Jen, get to know these guys, because some of these guys are going to be around a little while, and this Lakers team probably going to be around a little while in this playoff run as well, if everybody stays healthy. And I think one of my favorite parts about this team is that it's the conversations about them. You can get really creative with your conversations about this team. It doesn't just wear down to net ratings when so-and-so is on the court, or pairings when there's not enough sample to make those kinds of, to offer up that kind of analysis. There are pairings that make a bunch of sense, like you mentioned with Luka and Jackson and Luka and everybody, but like
Luka and the concession stands workers, right. You know, they
Luka and Lawrence Tanner make a ton of sense together. But this, we can say any number of things about the Lakers, as long as it's well thought and well presented, I'm willing to listen to just about any opinion about the Lakers.
there's an infinite amount of stuff to look at. And what's, for me, my favorite part is there's a ton on the basketball floor that, again, to your point, is separate from the numbers. Just, you know, Goodwin's ability to really turn into Alex Caruso, I think, has just been amazing. You know, and
yeah,
I was texting about this. I think Goodwin has better hands than Caruso. Caruso's better positionally defender, but Goodwin is an elite defensive guy. Vanderbilt's kind of resurgence as a healthy player is a really fun mix into this team. Rui's going to come back. LeBron's coming back. You know, Jackson Hayes having the biggest smile on his face every time he screens for Luka Doncic because he knows he's getting a lob dunk. Like these little things that like you can really dive into. Austin and Luka finding their way around the floor, tiptoeing around the geography of where they're supposed to be together. It's just, it's a beautiful team to watch. And, you know, it reminds me a lot of 2020, where that team also had a lot of cool stuff to it, a little different in terms of, you know, obviously the personnel. But Luka's game, again, just, it's a magical game. And I think one of the reasons he's resonating, and I tweeted this and I got some pushback, you know, in terms of it, but I think Luka, just his involvement in every play, like he's just involved in everything. He controls where all other nine players are on the court. And that's rare. Like that's an extreme talent. And I think that's why he's resonated so quickly. And it just has kind of gotten to the hands of Laker fans. But, yeah, it's cool, man. There's a lot of cool stories, and you know, I'm excited to kind of dive into them. And it's just, this is a really cool team that looks like it's on a really fun arc here as the season closes. And you know, I hope everyone is starting to tune in. I heard you and Harrison talking about how people are starting to trickle back in, and how my tweets are not threats anymore, and all that good stuff. And yeah, it feels like an exciting close to the season.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap with a couple super comments here, which means we get to play this. Fuck Washington! All right, first and foremost here, I'm just going to scroll up to the top just to make sure. Cool. All right, we're good. Justin Tindall writes, congrats, Raj, on the new gig. And your boys, JHS and Max Lewis, are showing some things.
Yes.
We'll miss your positivity on post-game shows. What are you talking? I've been incredibly positive about these Lakers since they traded for Luka Doncic. I worked in PR. I left PR for a reason. I am not capable at this stage of my career of being anything than 100% me. It's a thing that Harrison always tells people is, no, Anthony is actually that angry that Christian Coloco is playing over Trey Jemison.
Right. He wakes up that mad.
67. Yeah. I wake up
at like a 7:45 a.m. message on something that happened like two nights ago. It's like, why the hell did this happen? Like, we won like by 20. What are you talking about?
Could have been 30. What I will also say, though, is if I like something, I'll also say that. And it turns out I like having Luka Doncic on my favorite basketball team.
No way. No way. You turns sure? Out,
I think Nico Harrison might have made a mistake.
Oh, man. Thank you, Justin. I appreciate that. And, yeah, JHS, my guy, dropped 19 with 3 threes, and Maxwell Lewis is doing his thing as well. So I'm glad those guys that I've gotten
to
talk to.
It is a little weird, Raj, right, that JHS is all of a sudden available to play.
Yeah, I mean, there's for sure. There's definitely
it's a little weird that like he leaves the organization and immediately is like cleared, can play, has been playing regularly since he got to Philly.
Yeah. Again, just Taffy gets the opportunity, and, you know, gets to show what he can in that franchise that's, you know, in a weird place, but that's a cool place for him to get an opportunity. And I've always said, I never thought it was the talent for him. Like I thought it was the adjustment to NBA speed and NBA athletes. And hopefully he can, you know, show something as a former first round pick.
I think he's shown enough to get another opportunity next season. In this brief stint here with Philly, it'll be probably a veteran minimum type of situation. It'll be very much a prove it deal kind of a situation, but I don't think his career is over in the way that I thought when he got traded away by the Lakers.
Yeah, First round picks get a lot of leeway, so we'll see.
Well, not those that play a combined like five games in two seasons.
Yeah.
You know, those ones, sometimes your body is just broken. That's the concern with Mark Williams. That's a that's the concern with Robert Williams, who just underwent another surgery here today. Brandon Omang writes, did Luka drop some weight, or is it the lighting or angles? Still concerned Vando will be unplayable in the playoffs. Seems like Goody is in front of DK in the rotation. So I was really hoping that the Lakers would bring back the Mamba mentality uniforms and just have him wear black all season, because black is more slimming.
Right, a lot slimming, yeah.
He's actually starting to look good in the yellow uniforms.
Yes.
It actually looks like it's fitting him right.
Yeah, he's definitely lost weight. Now I don't know the numbers, and those numbers, Anthony, might also be blocked by a lot of SUV vans and really strong guys from Slovenia protecting it. But I do think he's also lost a lot of weight as well. And he looks in just way better shape. Like he had 30 something in Denver in the beginning of February and had another 30 point night last night, but the way he did it was entirely different, and just his physical kind of shape is at a different point. I want to ask you about Vando, because I think this is interesting. He said, you know, Brandon's asking, still concerned Vando will be unplayable. My question to JJ, I thought he said something fascinating to me where, you know, he said, if you don't have a center that can lob, that can catch lobs or dunk, then a 4-on-3 is really just still a 3-on-3. I thought that was like extremely insightful. Mm-hmm. And it tells me that Vando's not going to play a lot when these things matter. That was extremely insightful for me for him to say that, because he's basically telling me that Vando can't play center. And well, if he can't play center, then he's not playing power forward, because I know JJ wants to play at least four shooters on the floor. Did you take that as well from that? I found that really interesting, that I guess he's just going to have Vando play very specialized minutes on this team.
But he can. Right, like the Lakers have the roster buildup where they don't need Vando to play. The problem in those playoffs a couple of years ago, or even last year, is that Vando wasn't really available for the playoffs last year.
A couple years ago,
the problem that the Lakers ran into is that he was a huge part of their rotation, and then wasn't able to play. And Darvin Ham just didn't have other buttons to press. And I think JJ has kind of prepped this rotation in a way where if Vando is playing well, if Vando is shooting that corner three-pointer confidently, I think we've seen a lot more of Vando on the ball than we have seen in past years. He's doing a lot more DHO stuff where he's the guy handing the ball off.
Right.
And he gets to make some of those decisions. And if he doesn't make that right decision, or if he isn't aggressive offensively, then you'll look at the box score and he'll play 10 minutes on any given night. And I think that's basically the role that he's going to be playing. It also, even while I say all of that, it also allows Vando to just go out there and wreak havoc. People don't understand. Yeah. People don't understand how hard you have to play to wreak that kind of havoc defensively. Jordan Goodwin, Jared Vanderbilt, Alex Caruso back in the day. Like, there was a reason, as much as it drove us crazy, but there was a reason the Lakers were reluctant to play Alex Caruso 30-plus minutes a night, because you have to play so effing hard to tangibly impact the game on the defensive side of the ball. And Vando was... that's where he makes his bread. That's where he makes his impact. And that's where Goodwin makes his impact. And I think with both of those guys, they're going to be thrown out there in such small doses that JJ basically tells them, hey, you go out there and you fight people. If you have to, you have six fouls that you could use in 10 minutes. If as little as 10 minutes, go out there, dare the referees to make to call a foul on you every play that you make. Get in passing lanes, go out there and rebound, tip the ball loose, all of that's get out in transition, all of that good stuff. And I think for Vando, that's exactly the kind of role he should be playing anyway. He was to actually answer this question, Vando was never in any world going to play like 20 minutes a night in the postseason.
Yeah, so you know, I saw him guard KD, and I thought he was one of our best guys on him. But I don't think it's a coincidence, Anthony, that he's shooting as many threes as he is, and it doesn't look pretty. But he's trying to finish at the basket as well. Like, he's trying to, and it just hasn't looked right, and his comfortability is not there. But I think there's something when you're playing with Luka Doncic. Luka doesn't pass to players; he passes to spaces. So if you're in that corner, you better shoot the ball. Because all those mean looks to the refs also go to his teammates as well. And I just don't think it's a coincidence. I think we had this conversation, you know, recently in terms of like, you know, LeBron would throw Vando the pass and he just, nah, I'm not shooting this. So let me go dribble handoff somewhere else. Luka fires that and he's like, oh, I got to shoot this. I gotta just stay on the floor. And so,
Other thing too is the reason to play Vanderbilt, the reason to play Goodwin's knocking down the three. I think you tweeted out, I don't know what the updated stat is, but he was hitting like 60-something percent of his corners.
Yeah, 10 for 16. Yeah, missed three last night, but still at like 50% from the corners.
Still a very small sample, as is everything. But with both of those guys, the point for both of those players is to help you win the possession battle. That's the whole point. Vando gets in there, flies in from the corner, and tries to tap the ball out or grab the ball for himself. Defensively tries to limit possessions that the other team gets. And if they get out in transition, if they knock down a three-pointer, if they do all that stuff, then if there's actual literal production, then that is icing on the cake. But can you help the Lakers create an extra possession here or there? That's worth the 10 or so minutes that those guys will get.
Right. And you know, I'm not saying you're wrong on this, but you mentioned a small sample for Jordan Goodwin in the corner threes. And you're right. You know, people have, you know, mentioned that to me. They're like, oh, it's a small sample. My favorite Zach Lowe quote, I think, ever on a show. This was like a few years ago when Kyrie was flaming out in the playoffs. And he's like going through Kyrie's playoff numbers. And he's like, yeah, small sample. But guess what? Life's a short sample. I just thought that was so good. I thought that was just so perfect. He's like, yeah, short sample. People saying short sample. Well, guess what? Life is a short sample. So that was just perfect. Miss Zach Lowe.
I would still prefer a larger sample than 19 attempts.
Yes. You're not wrong. No.
Just like I would like a larger sample to life than 19 years. Me personally. You know, maybe I'm asking for too much, but I would continue to like to get a larger sample than I've had to this point. My 38 years or whatever it is that I've lived so far, not quite enough either. So, yeah, keep them coming.
Let's get a larger sample. I need more analytics on this.
Everything I said about analytics, take it all back.
Let me be a larger case study. Just give me, let's keep this going.
All right. That is, I believe, going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. Again, no live show after this one, unless the Lakers pull off some crazy win here. But even then, I'm still probably going to stick to the lowdown. We'll see how it goes. Maybe Giannis, we haven't heard anything about whether or not Giannis is going to play. So I believe he's going to play. Dame is not going to play. And the Lakers, plural, are not going to play. So we'll see how this game goes. But I'll record a lowdown and I'll record all of those things, break this up as I normally do as well for the RSS feed. So check out all of that whenever it goes out there. And check out Raj's work at Silver Screen. Raj, go ahead and plug away.
So I have three pieces out currently. I have the first one was a Jackson Hayes and Luka's relationship, you know, on the pick and roll, how they kind of destroyed the Suns and a Suns team that's in hell already, but kind of pushed them further down that pole. Second one on the Jordan Goodwin, just had an amazing game a few nights ago, just been super impactful. And I wanted to write about his defense and how he impacted the game. And the last one, you know, Luka hunting Michael Porter Jr. was basically the article that I wrote, which was very enjoyable to write, and just clipping the amount of times that Luka said, bring that guy over here to me. So after all the years of Michael Porter Jr. tormenting us, it was nice to have a player that does that on our end. So yeah, go, you can go check all that out.
I think that that concept of hunting Michael Porter Jr. is going to matter for the postseason, because the Lakers haven't had anybody to do that to him specifically. And Luka does it in such a physical way that I think it's going to mess with MPJ's rhythm on the other end of the court. And that I think is something the Lakers will go back to a ton if they do see Denver in a series. Great stuff, Raj. Always fun catching up. We are going to, we're working on, basically I'm debating between hiring a post-game show or maybe a post-game co-host, or just expanding the number of regular guests that we have here, or some combination thereof. We'll have this all ironed out. I obviously have to work with my bosses to see what they're willing to do here as well. But we'll have this all ironed out before the playoffs, certainly. So keep an eye out for those updates as well. Also, think we're right around the corner from a really big update that I've been... We are now, what is it, 70 games into the season, basically. I've been teasing this thing for 70 games. I think we're actually right around the corner from me being able to go public with this information. And I think you guys will be pretty excited about that. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Sapalu. Have a great rest of your night. Spend some time with your families tonight. You can sit this one out. You can see how it goes. Make somebody else's night, and I will talk to you tomorrow.